war in heaven that's going on. We can get through the war zone into the third heaven, which is where we want to be, and we only get there through worshiping the King, Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name. So, but there is this spot, space in between when Satan got hurled down to the earth because he was trying to be God and proclaiming himself God, and the time when he is going to be first delivered into a pit during the millennial reign, and then he will be forever banished to a lake of fire after he for a time gets to try to entice whoever's there to follow him. But I want you to know that he is defeated, that the second Adam, the living Christ, has already defeated him at the cross. If you read Colossians, it says that he blotted out the hand, God blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So the blood of Jesus, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And because we don't love our lives unto death, we're able to overcome. The blood is sufficient for all of these things. So if you don't know what else to ask for, pray for it, ask for the blood to cover you and flood you. I am going to talk about Satan. I don't give him a big S, I give him a little S. Another name for him is Lucifer and the devil. But I want you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus has overcome the enemy and all of his wiles. So the more and the closer you get to Jesus, the more authority you're going to have. I'm probably going to preach about this next time, but God actually woke me up and did not let me sleep for two nights talking to me. Very specifically, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I will share this scripture a little bit further on, and the message is absolutely amazing. The way that God has let men interpret his word in such a way that we can really understand the reality of the conquering, victorious life that Jesus won for us on the cross. In Revelation 3, it talks about the last church. There are a number of churches. I think there are seven churches. And each one of them at the end of what that church has been called to says, and he who overcomes. So we are called to overcome, are we not? We are not called to come under. We are called to be victorious conquerors, even as Jesus did. The Church of Philadelphia Laodicea had so many things in that chapter that talked about what God called them to. Told them to endure the chastening, told them to be zealous and repent. It's where that, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock, which I led all of my children to Jesus with that verse, you know, when they were three. All of that in that verse. And at the end it says, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and sit with my Father in the throne. So Jesus went before us and we can just follow his footsteps and sit in that place. Ephesians says we are seated in heavenly places. Then you can, if you read the whole book of Ephesians, you'll see themes. You're seated in heavenly places. We walk with him. And at the end of Ephesians, we stand with him. I'm going to end this message with Ephesians 6, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not putting your armor on and reminding everybody and everything in this world that you are a child of God, and not only a child of God, but a son and daughter of the living Christ, you are losing it. You are losing your victory because Jesus Christ has called all of us. Those who, you know, every soul is loved by God. I just read something. There are people who have been planted by the enemy. So you need to be aware, even though in my heart, in God's heart of mercy, every soul can be saved. There are the enemy's disciples. Okay? The name of this message is withstand and stand with. Withstand the devil. That's what it says in many places. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures so you can understand that your plot in life, your lot in life, not plot, is to withstand the devil. You have to come against him. You have to tell him to get lost. You have to say no to the devil and all of his lies. I hate him. The scripture says, I hate you with a perfect hatred. I hate the devil. When I see people that are bound by Satan, I am the first one on my face to command that devil to get off and get away. Get lost. But I stay very close to the Holy Ghost. I stay very close in submission to the living God because he's the one that won the victory. It's not me. And, you know, a man's anger does not bring and provoke the righteousness of God. So when I'm angry in my flesh, that's not helpful. But when I'm angry in my spirit, look out, devil. So withstand means we are to stand with God and withstand the enemy. Withstand, it's in the scripture in a number of places. I will give it to you. I'll give you the scriptures. I'll read the scriptures and I'll give you the references. So you can look it up yourself and let the Holy Spirit show you the truth and the reality about you being an overcomer. That's the whole point. We want to be overcomers. But if you don't know that the accuser of the brethren has been hurled down forever and loses, it's almost like when Saul was king and he turned away from the living God to himself, David was raised up by Samuel to be king. But it took a while for David to come into his kingship. He had to do some overcoming. But he already had that because God gave it to him. So that's what we have. And the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So to withstand means to be undamaged and unharmed by something. When you withstand against something, you are undamaged and unharmed. To hold out against. And I love this. Brave. Not be brave. Brave. You know, they braved the storm. We need to take that courage from the Word and the courage from the living God and brave the enemy to offer strong resistance to or opposition to. Now, to stand with means to unite with someone as in defense. Now, that's what God does. He comes alongside of us and he stands with us. He rises within us when our flesh is dead. So walk in your true identity as a son or daughter of the living God, joining your heart with his. We carry the all-conquering life of the risen Lord within us, which can then enable us to triumph over the adversary. It will enable us to lose when the adversary comes. Nothing? No! I know. But see, that's how he works. God is talking these nice, peaceful words to you, and all of a sudden the devil will come in and say, well, you're blah, 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 and you don't do blah, 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 and who do you think you are, blah, blah, blah? Well, I'm a son, a daughter of God. So we want to be joined to him in spirit, brought into vital union with the very breath of the living God. I love that song about your breath in my lungs. I love that song. When I first heard that song, I sang that song all the time. It's your breath in my lungs that causes me to praise. The Lord showed me that so many years ago, and I was a new believer, that when I praise him, his breath, his very breath comes into my being. Abba, Father. He poured out his life into us when we said yes to him. We carry the bread of life. Think about the bread of life. We carry the bread of life in our hearts. Not only can we eat from the bread of life, but we can break that bread and give it to others who don't know him. This was interesting, you know, in the letters. I taught my kids all the alphabetic letters and all the scriptures that go with the letters. A is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit went, boop! I mean, I can't tell you how many times I taught them that verse. I never thought about coming short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus opened the door to the glory realm. He opened the door so we can go into the glory realm and overcome. We all need a Savior. He has given us that kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. So, the first step to overcoming Satan's lies and realm is by inviting the living Christ into your heart. Now, if you have areas of your heart, which we all do, that are not quite where they're supposed to be, and we are wrestling, because this sanctification is a process and we walk through it, so there's always something that God is doing and dealing with in our lives, which is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And it's a place to rest. You who are troubled, rest. Because we have said yes to Jesus. But then there are steps that we need to take to overcome the enemy of our souls, to withstand him and reign with Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 in the Message. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. Really? No, it doesn't. The devil loves to irritate you and cause consternation in your heart and cause you to fall into unbelief and fear. That's his goal, is to kill you. Hello? The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, and we never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing, you listening? Demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. That's what the world, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have a nice house or you're not supposed to go out to dinner or enjoy, you know, what God created. It means you're not supposed to get involved with that horror of thinking, stepping, plundering, hating, all of that. That is all Satan's territory. That's not where we need to be. It's a massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. That's our life. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. I'm going to share a number of tools. I don't like to do this, but I feel very strongly that the Lord, because you know, sometimes you need a list of things to do. You need a to-do list. How can I overcome this devil? How can I walk at liberty? What can I do to overcome? And you know, he will trick your mind, the enemy, and try to tell you you'll never overcome. I remember things that I have overcome that he told me I was never going to get past. I remember praying. My husband and I were not very early in our marriage. We were doing great, and then we didn't do so great. And it was a year I was praying, let the two walk together. Agreed. And we were certainly not agreeing and not walking together. But God answered that cry in my heart. Every day I prayed the same thing. And every day I started to speak prophetically over our relationship, that we would walk together, agreed. And then I went to a seminar, and there was a woman there who had the most beautiful marriage. She loved her husband, and they just, I mean, he and her husband adored her, and there was just such a beautiful communion. I could tell I was sitting there crying and saying, Lord, I want that. Now, I'm not blaming my husband, believe me. I take just as much responsibility for the lack of communion between us. But God did a miracle way back when, and there's such harmony in my home. Sometimes I pinch myself and say, who are you? But God is faithful. He's a faithful God. And you got to keep walking and keep declaring and keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over none of the power of the enemy. All. It says all. Over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. Do we get injured? I do. I have diagnosis is over my back, and my back is perfectly fine. I have things in and out with my foot, and my foot's perfectly fine. I refuse to bow my knee to the enemy's lies, even when my body is telling me, something else. I mean, I did hurt myself, so I can't. But I got healed, and I'm still getting healed. And I took measures. I went to a doctor. I got some medication. I went to PT. I learned all these things, and I'm doing the exercises. I'm taking care of the body that God gave me. I wasn't always good taking care of it, but I'm taking care of it. Exercising, all of these things, getting enough sleep, they're very important, just as important as reading the Word, because you got to take care of the temple. This is the temple of God. Mark 3:27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property. Jesus said this himself. Unless he first binds a strong man, and then he can plunder his house. Now, I have to really study this whole portion of Scripture. I haven't really given it a tremendous amount of study right now, but I can tell you that there are two different ways of looking at this that Jesus was talking about, but I'm going to bring this into the realm of that we are able to plunder the enemy's territory. But there are things in our house that have to be overcome. Because you can't overcome the enemy. You cannot bind the strong man unless you have dealt with self. Because self will rise up and bite you in the rear end. And you will lose. And you will say, oh my God, where is God? But it's not God. The goods that are held by the strong man are a man's love of sin. I'm not going to read these, but I think they're up there. You can look them up yourself. John 3:19. We love sin in the natural. We love sin. His enmity against the God who loves him. Our flesh is an enmity with God. Romans 8:7. The lust of the flesh and of the mind. Ephesians 2:3. The lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life. 1 John 2:16. Mark 16:24 reads, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, renounce, disown self. Pick up his cross and follow me continuously. When we do that and exercise that reality, then we will be able to resist and withstand the devil, and he will flee. James 4:6-8. Wherefore the scripture says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be subject, submissive therefore unto God, but resist the devil. See, we submit to God first. We're in submission to God first. Then we can resist the devil. And it says, resist the devil, withstand him, and he will flee from you. There's an action that you need to take, and there's a result of that action. Resist, withstand the devil, and he will flee. I see things in the spirit. I've seen the devil run screaming from me. I have seen demons of fear run out of my house. I had a sister there. I was very new in the Lord. I was on the phone praying with her. My husband was out, and I saw this thing in my house, this huge spirit of fear, and I was scared. See, I don't like alien movies because that's what they look like. Not all of them. Some of them are very handsome. But I was really scared. And I'm on the phone with her, and she prayed with me. And we took an agreement. We took authority over that spirit, commanded it to leave. And then she said, get up and open the door. So I got up and opened the door. And the thing walked out the door and closed the door and never came back again. So being a Christian is very exciting, isn't it? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's James 4:6-8. Here we go. James 4:7-10 in the message. So let God work his will in you. There was a long time ago that the Holy Spirit told me to yell and say no to the devil. To yell and command my flesh that it was not going to rule me. You know, scripture in Romans 6, it says, your flesh cannot rule. And I used that scripture against my flesh and took authority over it. But I never saw this before. Yell a loud no to the devil. Wow. Let's all do that. You ready on the count of three? One, two. 3. No! My husband and I do that all the time in the house. And say a quiet yes to God. Let's do that too on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they are the still small voice. But that still small voice yells and speaks louder than all the rest of them. Because it resounds inside here and it resonates and begins to move like that rock when you throw it in the water, and it just, and it just moves. If you let it, if you let him, he will take over your body, take over your mind, and take over your emotions, and take over your flesh. Sarah's out there. Anyway. Hi, Sarah. Okay. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. He'll be there in no time. Do you always feel God? No. I don't always feel him, but I believe him. Because I've had enough, and it is a precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I did share the last time I preached about that night that I had from hell, and then 2 weeks later, another night where I didn't know anything. The night before, the one night I knew everything and I knew what was going on, but the other night I didn't know anything. I was like, but I took what I had learned from the 2 weeks previous and implemented the same tools that God had given me. I'm going to give you some tools. Quit dabbling in sin. Oh, we have to stop sinning. Oh, purify your inner life. Oh, we have to be pure in our inner life. Oh, quit playing the field. Oh, we have to quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. When was the last time you cried your eyes out for your own sin? This morning. The fun and games are over. Get serious. Really serious. Listen, I'm telling you, we've been telling you for years to get serious. I'm telling you to get serious against sin. Because something is coming. The glory of God and his marvelous, amazing grace is going to pour his glory out on this little church. He has told me more times than I can count. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. And if you're in sin, you will be on the floor. You will get wiped out by the devil. It's another reason why I'm telling you this. Because I don't want you to get wiped out. I want you to overcome. I want you to win. I want you to win. I was so blessed by Jonathan, one of our youngest preachers, just preached such an amazing message, so filled with the glory of God and the reality of the living Christ in his life. I was telling him on Tuesday, I remember when Elizabeth had Victoria and she thought he was a boy because she had such a, I mean, I had a time like that too with Ariel, I thought she was a boy. Anyway, I was calling her Peter Joshua the whole time I was carrying her. But my husband knew. He said, no, it's Ariel Jana. Like, no. So what I had to do as a result of that blunder was that I had to wash his feet. The Holy Spirit told me to wash his feet. And I literally washed his feet. You know, maybe some of us need to do that. A little foot washing by your wife is always a wonderful thing, or your husband. And I don't mean massage. I mean washing in humility. I was dead wrong. Get on your knees before the master. Anyway, Elizabeth, she said, well, I guess I'm having another one. And I remember looking at her thinking, okay. And she had Jonathan. What a gift he is to the body of Christ. Whoa! And a woman of faith who heard God and obeyed. And then to have Stephen get up here after all of his trials and all of the things we've walked through with him, and not that Pastor Roy and I have not walked through many things ourselves, but here he is. He's a man of God. He was able to stand up here and preach the living gospel here and with anointing and power. What an overcomer. And each one of you has your own life story. Your testimony and your having come to Christ and all the things that you've overcome, you are able to stand. See, I can stand with Michael and Rosa because I have overcome physical affliction, many physical afflictions. I have overcome cancer. I didn't even have cancer. But see, that was what God spoke to me on the way to the first diagnosis. He told me, there's no cancer in your body. I said, uh-oh. Something's coming. And I told them all up and down the line, there's no cancer in my body. I went through things that I had to do, that the Lord gave me instruction to do. And when it was over, I didn't go any further. And I said, that's it. And I first told them I had no cancer in my body. They finally wrote it on the chart that there's no cancer in my body. But see, they think if you have stage zero pre-cancer cells, that you have cancer. They automatically, boom. But that's the medical field. You have to walk in which field? The kingdom of God field. Okay, ways to withstand Satan. Ways to withstand who? Who is he? He's the devil! He has no power over me. Say, you have no power over me, devil. 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 The Lord has given us authority. There's a scripture, I think it's in Psalm 110, it says, and the Lord will send strength from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Some of you are in the midst of your enemies and you don't see a way out. I'm telling you, rule. Rule. Rule in the midst of your enemies, because God will send you strength. All you have to do is ask him. Okay, the first, there's 10 of them. Be ruled by the word. Beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. Pastor Roy shared, and actually Jonathan shared again too. You know, the Holy Spirit's like a dove. He's on your shoulder. Don't grieve him, because he'll fly away. Labor for wisdom. Two messages ago, I preached about wisdom. Last message, I preached about the glory. This message, I'm telling you to withstand the devil, and he will flee. But you need wisdom. You need wisdom. You can't get wisdom unless you hear the Lord speak to you to know what to pray for, where to go, what to do, how to do it. Four, resist the first stirring of temptation. Let no man, when he is tempted, say, I'm tempted by God, because God tempts no man. You are tempted by your own lust. Every man is drawn away and enticed with his own lust. But the minute that the temptation comes, and I'm not talking about thoughts, because thoughts will come, the enemy will do whatever he can. It's when you begin to move and act on those thoughts. When you begin to move and act on what you're hearing in your mind, you even entertaining those thoughts. Cast them down. Where do you hear the verse I have on casting down imaginations? Woo! Awesome. Resist the first stirring of temptation. Five, labor to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the glory. I shared, filled with the glory, filled with the glory. I declare that I'm filled with the glory. No matter how I feel, filled with the glory of the Lord. Filled with the glory. Keep humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So you have to humble yourself first, because you can't resist the enemy by yourself. Be constantly on guard. Does that mean? No. You know, when Roman soldiers went into battle, they had these amazing shoes that had spikes in the bottom. And they would stand with these spikes. And that's what I see when I see me standing in the armor of God. I have these spikes in my shoes, my gospel shoes, that the enemy cannot knock me over. No way, Jose. Continue communing with God. When you're in communion with God, you will recognize the voice of the enemy. You will recognize the accuser. You will recognize what he's trying to lure you into thinking or doing, because you are hearing the voice of God. You are involved with worship and the word and loving Jesus and saying his name out loud. 9, do not engage Satan in your own strength. You need to draw the power and even the desire to resist sin from Jesus Christ. And you need to do this every day, every night, in every set of circumstances. 10, pray constantly. Prayer is a shelter to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to the devil. Prayer is your communion with the Holy Spirit. We had done a book, I believe it was Larry Kreider, and at the end of the book it had like 101 ways to hear from God. You're not always going to hear this voice. Sometimes you'll see a flower blooming with the sun and the dew glistening on it, and you go, oh, it's God. God speaks. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. I have a personal, intimate relationship with God, so he does talk to me. Does he talk to me all the time, like in an audible voice? No, but he speaks to me through his word. And as I continue to read the word, after a while, I start feeling this peace. I start feeling the presence of the Lord, and then things switch, and I'm in a place of, like this, worshiping. That's where you want to live. You have to strive to enter into rest. 1 Peter 5, 9 and 10. Withstand him. Withstand who? The devil! Say it out loud. He's real. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Resist him. Withstand him. Stand firm in the faith. And you do it for yourself. You do it for the people you know. You do it for your neighbors and your friends. You do it for your children. You stand against the accuser of the brethren and say that, no, you can't have him. Because for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Find the word that applies to your situation. Ask the Holy Spirit, how do I pray? What do I pray? Help me. When I hear him, then I'm at peace. If I haven't heard him, even in a different situation, you know, many situations I'm involved with, I'm okay. I saw Bennett and Lane yesterday. I haven't seen them in a while. He's like knee-deep in camp, and she's pregnant, you know, and nesting. But it was so beautiful. They came in, and he just looked so good. Both of them, they just looked so good. So it was wonderful that I was able to just enjoy them for an hour or so. And, you know, I prayed and wept and sobbed and commanded Satan and cried out to God for my children. So when I saw him walk in the door, the Holy Spirit said, you see what I've done? You see what I've done? Miracles. Okay. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith against his onset. Does it say you will never be attacked by the devil? No. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith against his onset. You begin to understand when he starts to move because you are in the presence of the king. Standing with those spiky shoes. Fully dressed in the armor of God. Zosha brought this bag of toys over. And there was a knight in there. I was like, oh! I said, yeah, that's me! All covered with armor everywhere. Yeah! He even had a shield. I said, yeah! Do you do that? I am a child of God. I'm dressed in the armor of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Nothing. All right, this is what we're supposed to be. While we're withstanding him, standing firm in the faith, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings. Are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians. See, when Pastor Roy and I pray for you during the week, we count you as blessings because you're part of the body of Christ. You're praying for us, we're praying for you, we're standing together that we would all be one in Christ. And we stand against the adversary, stand against the enemy of our souls. We can stand together because we all love Christ. And after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, now God does this. Do I do this for you? Do I do this? It says right here, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, in the power of his might, in the strength of his might, in the power of his might, in the strength of his might, in the power of his might. Meditate. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You will be able to stand firm against the devil. He's defeated. He's defeated. He's dead. He's dead where he lives. And I'm going to tell you something. He will try to tell you that the wonderful things that you're involved with are your flesh and that you can't have them. He's a liar. I'm just going to end with this in Revelation 3:18. Therefore I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you, and keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. Seeing starts in a sanctified imagination. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten them. I discipline and instruct them. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent, changing your mind and attitude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. So Jesus went before us and opened the door and opened the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through him. I don't care who says what. It's only Jesus. I looked into all kinds of things and nothing happened. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. As a matter of fact, I had to renounce all of it afterwards and get free of it. Jesus, when I met Jesus on the beach and he slaughtered me, threw me on the floor, that was it. That was the end of it. I remember the day that I was born again.
Hallelujah.
And it was an amazing day. And every day since has been amazing. The good, the bad, and the ugly are still amazing because he's my God. He's my rock, my shield, my fortress, my high tower. I'm able to run into his name and be safe. So withstand to be undamaged and unharmed by something. I was thinking about that song, Smashing Idols. You know, we have to smash our own idols. When I got saved, I was talking to Sarah about this the other day because I can't practice yoga. There are a lot of Christians that are practicing yoga, and I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to tell you, I was practicing yoga when I got saved. The Lord showed me this picture of a Bible in the middle, and I had all of these things around the Bible. And he said, every one of those things I'm going to remove from your life. And he did. They were all sin, every one of them. And the last thing to go was yoga. And I was like, why can't I practice yoga? Because it was keeping me fit, and I was doing, He very clearly said that was the last thing to go. There are other things you can do. And I said, okay, well, you have to see, if you ask God, he will tell you. I'm sure I shared it with some of you, but he sent me to this little store in Northport called Food for Body, Mind, and Soul. I walked into the store. The entire store was full of all kinds of New Age, this and that, the other thing. I said, oh, let me see if there's any Bibles in here. There was like three of them, like this big. I said, okay, I see that. And then he led me over to where the yoga section was, and there was a million books on yoga and this and that. So I pick up the little book that I was using, which is a picture of this little American girl, you know. And then next to it was a picture of this wizened old man all curled up like a pretzel. I was like, okay, I don't get it. I told him, I still don't get it. It works. It's good for me. It helps me. So I opened the book, and I start going through the book. I'm reading, and I'm looking. Okay, yeah, well, he's fit. Yeah, he's a little weird, but okay. And then at the end, they start talking about meditation and all of the trappings of yoga, which has to do with all of those things that people that practice yoga do. They don't realize what they're doing, and some of them do. The ones that really practice yoga, they know what they're doing. So I still didn't get it. I said, I'm not doing that. Now listen, I'm just telling you this because I want you to know that God will show you very clearly what it is and what the root is and why you can't do a certain thing. That doesn't mean that somebody else may hear something different. I was seeped in it. When I went home, I said, I still don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to do it one more time. I got on the floor, started doing this salutation to the sun. Did you hear what I said? The salutation to the sun. I said, oh, I'm not doing that. I got up off the floor because, see, Christ was in me. Before, he wasn't. I believed in Jesus, but he was not ruling my life. And then I said, I'm going to do one more. I thought doing the cobra. I felt like a snake. I jumped off that floor so quick. I said, I renounce yoga and all of its roots and fruits from my life. I will not engage in it. Amen. And that was the end of it. Now, I do. I know a lot of people that even worship Jesus and they're good Christians and they practice yoga. I'm not telling you, you have to go before the Lord yourself. But I'm just telling you, that was the last thing to go, and then I was on fire for Jesus. I was on fire from that moment until this. I am still on fire for Jesus, and he has gotten sweeter and more beautiful. So there are things that you may not be able to do, and there are things that maybe don't have as much weight in your life, but I'm assuring you that God will let you know. And that he will bring you to a place of purity, because the pure in heart, what? They see God. They see God. The pure in heart see God. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that every soul here was brought here today to hear this message, even those that have slipped out. I know that you love them and you love me, and that you have been so amazing, and what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So I pray, Father, that even these words, as I prayed this morning, will hit the mark. Fill your children with the truth so that we all may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater measure, Lord. That's what we want. We want more. We want more. We want to be so filled with your glory that nothing will stop us, that we truly will even raise the dead. That's my heart's cry, Lord. That every soul I pray for would be healed, delivered, set free, saved, and risen. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. I pray for your people here at RCF. Continue to direct their steps. Continue to speak to their hearts and minds and lives. Give them the next thing they need to do, Lord, because we can't really handle more than just the next thing. And you are faithful. So we thank you that we are walking in your footsteps. In Jesus' name. Amen. So withstand.